spells, witchcraft, and so much more. Judica Illis joins us in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. She was with me a couple of years ago, and she is back. And welcome back to Coast with our special guest, Judica Illis, of course. Judica has been a student of the magical arts since childhood. Her interests include tarot, runes, and other forms of divination, astrology, spellcasting, traditional healing, spirituality as well, the Kabbalah, the Egyptian mysteries, mythology, folklore, and even fairy tales. Noted author. She's got a lot of books out there, of course, which you can find on her website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Judica, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, me too. Look, I've been looking forward to this. I've been getting emails about you all day, people wanting to know about spells, curses, and witchcraft and things like that. Let's go way back to the beginning when you started dabbling with this. What was your inspiration? What happened?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I kind of came like this, but I will tell you that I have an older sister, and I just copied everything she did, and she had a copy of an old Rolling Stones, well, it's old now, it wasn't old then, a Rolling Stones album with the song Fortune Teller on it, and I was hooked. I was like 6 years old, and I knew what I wanted to be.
Well, and you did it in a big way, didn't you?
Yeah. Talk about, you know, really accomplishing a goal. You know, I don't know that I expected to, but it just hooked me in. And she brought home astrology books and tarot cards, and I just consumed everything.
Well, and you did a great job investigating. I mean, your books, you've been on with me. We've talked about the Wiser Field Guide to Witches. We've talked about your Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. We've talked about the strange and unusual things. I mean, you touch it all, don't you?
I love the arcane and the strange and the interesting.
Now, let's talk about spells to start.
Yeah.
Are there good spells and bad spells, or just good spells?
Oh, no. There are spells for everything. If you can think of it, there's a spell for it. There are plenty of negative, malicious spells. I wouldn't recommend them. But, you know, angry people do angry things, and angry people will cast angry spells also.
Is an angry spell the same as a curse, or is that different?
I think a curse would fall under the category. There's all sorts of negative spells. A curse is a very targeted verbal attempt to change somebody's fortune for the, you know, unhappy. There are hexes, which are spells using objects or items. And sometimes, you know, there's just, if you are angry enough, it's all energy. You know, it's all energy.
Right, and manifestation, isn't
it? Yeah, if you radiate enough anger at someone, then there's the evil eye, which is, you know, very folkloric, but that can be done accidentally. A curse is deliberate. A curse is you have to really hate somebody.
So let's talk about spells, first of all. Can someone put a spell on themselves?
Yeah, I mean, those are the best because...
Oh, they are? Okay.
Ideally, it's a spell of positive transformation. You know, we all look at ourselves, our lives, and we're not where we want to be. This is not where we thought we would be. And ideally, a spell is intended to improve your life and enable you to live the life that you desire. There are negative spells also. You can limit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's to pay attention to the language. If you find yourself saying, I can't a lot, it's a fine line between the power of positive thinking and spellcasting.
Is it an affirmation?
Affirmations, yeah, I think people who don't like the word spells sometimes prefer the word affirmation. But yeah, it's all in the language. If you if you're constantly limiting yourself, I can't do this, I'm a failure, effectively you're cursing yourself.
All right, so let's give us the Judica Illis definition of what is a spell.
A spell is a conscious attempt to harness magical energy for a goal.
All right, now, does it have to be a formal spell, or can one just, you know, think of things and try to manifest them that way.
We are, magical energy is just something that exists in the world. Everything is radiating in energy, and we are always interacting with it, consciously or unconsciously. And you'll know that because, you know, the classic is we walk into a room and we're happy, or we walk into a room and we feel very uncomfortable and we don't know why. It's a response to the energy of some sort. Ideally, if you learn to cast a spell, you're doing it consciously so that it is for the goal. You know, the most important thing about a spell is figuring out what the end result should be. If you're doing it haphazardly, you know, you might be prey to your emotions, your insecurities. Anything could happen.
Now, you just said if you learn how to cast a spell the right way.
Yes.
So who teaches people? You?
Well,
or how do you learn this?
Me. I actually do teach spell casting.
You do.
But, you know, my books, I have a book called The Big Book of Practical Spells. And if you have never cast a spell, it will take you through the process. I can tell you some things right now. A lot of it is really clarifying what the goal is. Spells are always cast in the present tense. So it's not, I will be happy. I am happy. I am healthy. I am loved. Even though clearly, if everything was great, maybe you wouldn't be casting this spell. And it's easier said than done because, you know, there are healing spells. And these are cast when, you know, you're unable to get a diagnosis, the conventional methods aren't working, and often they're done at a time of despair, and you have to push that aside and really see the success of your goal. Because if you can see it, it's actually manifesting it.
Now, with these spells, I have always been told that if you send out bad energy or karma, it's going to come back and zap you 10 times worse. Is that true?
I don't know how you quantify it. I've heard 3 times, 7 times, 10 times. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad day. So everybody has accidentally sent out some angry energy. But if you find yourself doing it on a regular basis, it's not healthy.
It's not healthy.
An example, you know, a very easy way to see your power is to take a day and be really nice to everyone. Give people compliments. Be kind to them. And see what kind of a reaction.
But you have to do that naturally. It's not something where they should act it, right?
Sometimes you have to learn how to do it. Some people don't do it naturally. But the opposite of that is take an hour, maybe don't take a whole day, and just don't be kind, you know, be a little snippy to the person at the checkout.
That's dangerous.
Watch. Well, you know, you got to do
it in a careful
setting. Watch your power. Watch. You can adjust the way people feel and the way they react and the way they treat the next person. And that's a sense of how much power each of us has.
So I can go up to my operational director, Dan, and say, why'd you do that? He'll bolt back. I don't do that. That's not me.
Yeah.
But you're advocating to people to do that. Maybe
you. Or if you doubt your power, if you doubt that you can have an impact on other people, it's a very quick way to see that in fact you do have power. I would not do that to a relative or a friend. I might do that in a very controlled area. You know, somebody you're never going to see again in a checkout.
That you hope you never see again. Right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's your energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have to be careful about how you use it.
Judica, where does hocus pocus and all that stuff come from?
Oh, hocus pocus. A lot of these words, abracadabra. Abracadabra is the name of an old spell.
They sound like magical words, don't they?
5,000. Abracadabra, you can actually see it in my book, 5,000 Spells. It's a word spell. It's intended to diminish a fever. And
if you went up to somebody and just said, say the magic words, how many would say abracadabra?
I'll tell you what the real magic words are, though. Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, it's very interesting
But they
because,
don't sound as
especially,
magical as
no, but if you're
abracadabra.
doing any sort of spiritual work, please and thank you are very, very, very important words.
And effective.
Yeah.
And effective. Well, no, but back to abracadabra and the hocus
Abracadabra.
pocus.
Abracadabra is very specifically, it's a word spell where you write it out, and on every line you remove a letter. And it was done to diminish fever, to lower a fever, to make fever become non-existent. Hocus pocus, you know, they're all words that mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus. They're words that have become trivialized now because since the age of reason, people mock this. You know, it's become a joke for a lot of people. So words of power have to have power. If abracadabra makes you giggle, then that's no longer a word of power for you.
Now, in terms of spell casting,
yeah.
How do they benefit? How does a spell benefit somebody? And why do you need a spell for that to happen, as opposed to the person just making it happen themselves?
Well, typically because they can't. Typically, spell casting has, over the ages, been the province of the poor and the disenfranchised and the marginalized. If you have enough money or brute force, it's more efficient, it's faster. But there are many people who don't have those things. It tends to be a defensive form of living. And there are certain things that can't be bought. You can't necessarily buy health. You can't, you know,
right.
the classic, you can't buy happiness. But sometimes, you know, you need to resort to other means.
Well, you know the old saying, money can't buy you love.
Yeah.
Not real love.
No, you know, although, you know, it certainly can buy many things. But one of the benefits of spell casting is I think it teaches you, if you do it on a regular basis, it gives you clarity of mind. And I find that you will think clearer. And because you always have to think about your goal, you have to put the language of the spell in the proper terms. You have to really express what you mean. You can't be sloppy with language. And ultimately, that sharpens your brain, and it teaches you to hear and see in new ways. You'll hear what people say to you. You know, if you find yourself surrounded by people who smile in your face but who actually do not have your back.
They're backstabbers.
The backstabbers.
That's what they have.
Yeah. But your ear will become sharper. You will start to see the people around you with more clarity. So beyond transcending the possibility that, you know, we're casting a spell because we want something, and ideally, you know, we get what we want and it actually is what we want. Beyond that, there are gifts. I think it's very grounding. It, you know, it's a good thing. It makes you more intelligent. And ironically, because I think a lot of people mock spell casting as something that foolish people do. But,
or witches, and we'll get into that a little bit later on tonight.
Yeah, although the word witch derives, the English word witch derives from the same roots as the words wise and wisdom. You know, the witches are the people who know. And what do they know how to do? They know how to do secret spells.
Are spells dangerous in the wrong hands?
The most dangerous thing with a spell is that it might work. So be careful what you ask for. You know, it's the old monkey's paw.
Yeah.
That is, I think, the most dangerous thing. It is, if a spell doesn't work, you're just going to be left where you were when you started. But they do. It is a shifting of energy. I know from my own experience and from, you know, people write to me and they tell me which of my spells worked or how they tweak them to make them work. So sometimes people are happy about it. You know, sometimes, you know, oh, you know, I won, you know, $80. But sometimes, you know, they cast a love spell and now they've decided they don't really want this person and this person won't leave them alone.
Interesting tech. Now, when you cast a spell, let's say for a relationship, what do you do? Do you have to have a picture of that person? I mean, do you have candles? What's the procedure?
All of the above, I would really recommend spells for relationships to be open-ended and not cast on another person, very specifically because sometimes you think you want someone and they're not who you think they are. People have unexpected sides to them, so it is probably more beneficial to put it out to the universe that this is the kind of person I want. I want a person who does A, B, and C, and you know, loves to, you know, the proverbial long walks on the beach, but to leave it open for the universe to send the right person to you rather than, you know, I have my eye on John Smith across the street.
So
You
you're
can
saying
cast
that,
that kind of spell too.
yeah, but sometimes if you've got your sights on somebody,
Right.
isn't it better to just apply yourself like that?
Sometimes.
But you're right about one thing. I have found in my career and lifestyle that if you just let it out into the universe
Yeah.
without a lot of pushing, it seems to work better that way. If you believe in it, and if you believe in yourself, and you just let it go, it tends to work out.
People are often very fixated on spells working, but I actually find it fascinating when spells don't work because sometimes a spell not working is your guardian angel giving you another chance to reconsider what you're asking for?
If it doesn't work, do you try to analyze what went
Yes,
wrong?
always.
And what's a common denominator?
Lack of focus, lack of privacy.
By the individual?
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking from experience. Being too distracted or trying to do too many things. It is an old school system. It is not for multitasking.
What is the recipient, Judica, of the spell need to do if someone else is casting the spell? So what does the recipient do?
Well,
Just hang around or what?
it depends how the recipient feels. I mean, sometimes a recipient might be flattered to have a spell cast on them. You know,
And maybe they requested it.
yes, or you know, it might be that there is a mutual attraction here, and knowing that this person cares enough to go through all the trouble of casting a spell is very appealing. On the other hand, sometimes somebody is, you know, gazing at you with negative intent. You can protect yourself. There are numerous ways of protecting yourself. There are spells for every possible reason. One of the easy, especially if you're a beginner, I always recommend cleansing spells. And cleansing spells are specifically to remove any kind of influence,
All right, let's talk
magical.
about that and so much more, Judica, and then we'll get into witchcraft as well. We'll take your calls next hour with Judica Illes as we talk about, of course, spells. We're going to get into magical fiction, witchcraft, and so much more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're back with Judica Illes. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we are talking right now about spells. We'll get into witchcraft in just a moment. Could you give us an example of casting a spell for something, just so we can kind of hear what you say?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a very easy spell that costs nothing and that anyone can do.
Okay.
And this is a spell. We have this, you know, eclipse tomorrow, but you can do this, and you know, full moon coming, but you can do it
Friday,
at any
Friday, yeah.
time. What you need is to see the moon. And before, you know, one of the things you might want to do before this the prep for the spell. What do you want in life? If you could narrow down, and you may have many goals, but let's pick one. Just pick a goal and really see it in your head. The next time you see the moon and it looks beautiful or it looks interesting, it has to be somehow evocative. take a couple minutes, relax, look at that moon, just really focus on it, and then articulate what you want to happen in the near future and see it like you're watching a movie of yourself, but see it happening. So, you know, if you want to lose weight, see yourself how you want to see yourself. If you want to have money, see yourself, you know, just, you know, with wads of cash in your hand. Whatever it is, see it as if it is, has come true now, and then let it go and just walk away and just put that out in the universe. If you can't get out, if you're an agoraphobe, if you're disabled, you can just find an image of the moon online that you really like. You know, you don't even have to go outside for this. But it is just making that connection, that lunar connection. The moon is the planet, you know, not technically, but it is the planetoid most associated with magic spells. And that link will empower you. And try it. You know, you have nothing to lose with something like that.
How long does it take for a spell, if it's going to work, to work?
It varies. You know, the traditional is that it's one moon phase. So if you do it at the new moon, you should see it by the next new moon. I find some spells work very quickly, and sometimes they kind of creep up on you. You know, they're mysterious. It's not a science project. You know, I think because if you read spell books, mine included, they look like recipes.
Yeah.
There's a tendency to think it's like, you know, it's like a cake mix. And, you know, if you go and you buy a cake mix and you follow the instructions, you should get what, you know, the picture on the box. But spells are sometimes better. Spells sometimes turn out better than you envisioned. They take on a life of their own. And that's why it's very important to, you know, people fool around sometimes because they don't really believe it's going to work. And they ask for things they don't really want, and then it works. So, you know, think about what you really want.
Would you say that prayer is like a spell?
Yes. The classic distinction is that prayer is a request and a spell is a demand.
Is the prayer going to that higher authority, that higher power, or is it going out into the ether just like a spell is? Who's listening, I guess? That's my question.
Once it's a prayer, prayers tend to be directed towards a higher power of some sort, whether it's God, a saint, an angel. Prayers tend to be targeted, and they are a request. We beseech, please, I really need this. Spells, the best spells and the spells that are most likely to work happen when you're pretty desperate, and, you know, you just can't do that. You know, I one of my classics, personally, I almost went into foreclosure, and it was just really too much. You know, it's that moment in life. My aunt used to say, the cup is full. There's no room for another drop. You have just hit a point, and you find yourself going down a road, and you cannot go down that road. That intense focus and desire, because the most important magical ingredient is your focus and desire. Spells are cast by human beings. So without that, you know, if you don't really care, it's likely not to work. But a spell is sort of telling the universe, I can't do this. Hmm. We're going to have to do something else instead.
Now, you are the author of the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft.
Yes.
What do you think of people who practice witchcraft?
I think people who practice witchcraft are in the same boat as, you know, pharmacists and teachers. Some of them are wonderful, and some of them are not.
See, I think a lot of people, when they hear the word witchcraft, they confuse it with being a Satanist.
Right. But it's not the same thing.
No, it's a huge
difference. It's absolutely not the same
thing. Matter of fact, witches are Wiccans, aren't they?
Not all.
Not all? Okay.
I mean, I'm not a Wiccan.
Are you a witch?
I think by some definitions.
God, I hate to call you that, Judith.
Ah,
you
know,
witch.
By some definitions. I like a cultist. You know, a cultist is very clear. I study the occult, so I'm very comfortable with that. When it's actually something, it's how the book starts. People will say, are you a witch? And you have to ask them, What do you mean by that? If you think a witch is someone who desecrates cemeteries and eats babies, no, you know, absolutely not. But if you think of witches as people of power who are attuned to the rhythms of nature and, you know, the tides and the moon, and are interested in, you know, all these plants and crystals and colors and fragrances, what else do they do? What is their power? And if that is a witch, then I think a witch is a very good thing to be.
Now, with witchcraft itself,
yeah,
you don't have to be a witch to cast a spell,
no.
Right? So, like we just
and many witches don't cast spells.
They do, but what do they do?
That's a good question. I mean, it's actually a controversial thing because, you know, Wicca is a religion, and people use the word synonymously, and many Wiccans do not cast spells. They're, you know, they have their holidays, and they're celebrating the wheel of the year. It's an interesting thing. How many spells do you have to cast to be a witch? And if you stop casting them, are you still a witch? What do witches do? Witches do all sorts of things. Witches heal. And witches have traditionally been associated with midwives. And witches know about plants. There's a lot of herbal witches. And they know how to, you know, when you cook food beyond the nutrition, what, you know, some food makes us happy and some food makes us unhappy. And it's all those sort of emotional things that affect us. Some kitchen witches are really good at that. They can often be very good at making people happy. I think most witches are people who really want to improve life for themselves and for other people. So, you know, ever since I've been a child, I just fell in love with witches. You told me a fairy tale as a child, I identified with the witch. Hansel and Gretel, that story horrified me.
Oh my gosh, scared the living daylights out of us.
But I felt bad for the witch. These rude children came and were eating her house.
And little kids came out of the house. What about Hollywood? What is Hollywood? I keep thinking of that horrid witch in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That scene I hated when Dorothy was in bed and the house is spinning,
yeah,
and she's got this dream and sees this witch on her broom,
right,
you know, with
herself.
That cackle. You know,
right.
Just I hated that as a kid. You know, that was scary as all get up.
It was the flying monkeys that got me.
Did Hollywood give people the wrong impression about witchcraft?
I think Hollywood has inherited centuries of wrong impressions of witchcraft. I don't think they invented it. It's really interesting, though, The Wizard of Oz in particular, because you can see the images of the screen test. Margaret Hamilton ultimately played the Wicked Witch of the West, and you can see she started off not that horrific looking, but people thought that she was too good looking to be a witch. And so they started, you know, the prosthetics making, you know, giving her the jaw and the nose. And
she had a green face, didn't she?
And the green face. Although I saw it in the black and white television. I didn't realize she was green until I was an adult. But,
I'll get you, my pretty. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, witches are, you know, all these fairy tales, witches are intended to scare people. But I don't think witches are necessarily bad. I think the issue becomes that witches are independent thinkers.
Why does one need to become a witch?
Well, one doesn't need to become a witch. One might want to become a witch. It's fun.
I mean, can you do things without being a witch?
Sure. All you have to do to cast a spell is be a human being who wants something or is afraid of something.
So what's the benefit then of being a witch?
Fun, power, knowledge. Yeah. I think people who are attracted to witchcraft.
Are you in a coven?
No.
You're. There are some who are.
Yeah. No. I'm a very solitary person, and I think writers in general are. You have to be willing. I have very big books, and those books don't write themselves.
I
So.
remember when I was a radio reporter in Detroit, my first job, 1971, as a reporter. I was working when I was 19 years old in 1969 as a production assistant for a TV station. But as a reporter, started in 1971. And I used to interview around Halloween a witch that we had in Detroit. Her name was Gundella. I'll never forget it. And she was fun. She was nice. She was kind. But she dressed up like a witch. She had the hat on and all that stuff. And TV stations would interview her every year. She was really a practicing witch.
Sure.
I'll always remember her, Gundella.
I think the issue with witches and witchcraft is not about witches being bad. It's about witches being independent and free thinking in general. And this never plays well with any kind of authority, religious, secular, otherwise. It's the disobedience, not maliciousness, that is really the problem.
So let's talk about magical fiction.
Yeah.
What is that?
Last time I was on the show, my book...
Yeah, that was the Occult Detectives
book. It was the Occult Detectives book. The Wiser Book of Occult Detectives had come out, magical fiction. Until, you know, the late 1950s and after, it was not legal in the U.S. for various reasons, in the U.K. for various reasons, to write nonfiction books that could be construed as promoting witchcraft. And so often, authors would write stories where they would hide magical knowledge in fiction. And they're good stories, and you can just read them as good stories. But if you are paying attention, you can get some valuable lessons from these stories as well. This is a long history because this derives from fairy tales, where some fairy tales are, you know, just good stories, and other fairy tales are just packed with magical instructions. They're great stories. I've compiled two anthologies by authors like Bram Stoker and Charles Dickens and Algernon Blackwood, H.P. Lovecraft, The King in Yellow, the Robert Chambers story, and they're a lot of fun. You can just read them as fun if you want to. Some of them are a little bit, you know, they're thrillers. Some of them are a little scary. And they're also that fine line between, I think, mundane reality, just very, you know, very mundane detective stories, but with a little something extra in there also.
All right, we're with Judica Ellis. We're talking about witchcraft. We're talking about spells. And with witchcraft, I mean, do you have parties that you go to?
I have. You know, as a kid, I loved a Halloween party. I have given some parties in my time. Yeah, absolutely.
You've had fun?
Yeah.
And do people show up as vampires too?
There are vampire stories. There are vampire balls. I personally prefer the witches, but there are, I don't know if you've seen the movie Black Sunday. In parts of the world, it was believed that vampires were the souls of dead witches. You know, live as a witch, spend the afterlife as a vampire. And so, I mean, there is a connection there.
There sure is. It's just amazing stuff. And you're going to continue staying as a witch?
I am not a young person. I've been studying these magical arts really since childhood. I consumed every book on witches, witchcraft, spells, divination that I could get my hands on, and I still do. It is a huge, interesting, stimulating topic. The world is just full of interesting things and interesting people and lots of stuff to learn, and I don't think you ever learn all of it.
No, you probably don't. Judica, can people contact you through your website?
Absolutely, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias.
And the book's still available?
All my books are available, easily available, wherever fine books are sold.
All right, we're going to take calls in a moment here on Coast to Coast with Judica Illis about witchcraft, about casting spells, and back to the curses for just a second.
Sure.
Have you ever cast a curse on someone and you regretted it?
No, but I'm not a... I try very hard not to be an angry person.
No, that's not you, is it?
No, I mean, that's not my nature. I have been on the receiving end of a couple, and I certainly regretted that.
How do you know that?
Oh, you'll know. You'll know if you're cursed.
You will. Okay.
You'll know if you're cursed because things start to go...
Really bad.
Thing all of a sudden. It's like you turn a corner and things aren't working anymore.
And then you have to try to figure out who did it. That's another thing we'll talk about. Plus, we'll take calls next on Coast to Coast AM.